Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4, we'll read again a couple of verses we read last time. Exodus 4, verse 24 through 26. "And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him," or Moses, "and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah, his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.' So he let him go," or God let him go. "Then she said, 'A bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision.'" And we're looking at circumcision versus baptism. But, Heavenly Father, help me to preach this message today. Clear my mind and give me a quick tongue. Help me to say and to preach what the text says and to magnify your wonderful Son. And in that name we pray. Amen. And again, we read this last week. The entire program was about these few verses here, verse 19 through 26. And we referenced Genesis 17 and talked about when God said, "Hey, Abram," or "Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you, and hey, you need to circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. You need to cut that little bit off." And we talked about that little bit of blood that was shed. And we know that the Jews, they still practice this. But we don't circumcise in the church. We baptize. And it's not infants that circumcision is done on. But in the church, we baptize. And infant baptism is not correct. It's not. But when you are born again, when you make that decision, "Lord, I'll serve you, I'll surrender my heart to you," that's when we should be baptized, and it's as adults, or at least teenagers or something. When you understand the gospel and you're sorry for your sins, not as an infant that he can't even think for himself yet. And yes, I know that circumcision happens at 8 days, but that's not what baptism is about. It's about a conscious decision to die to self and to live for God. And we'll probably take a look at Romans 6 again, and that passage, it brings it out. But let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 through 22. In Hebrews, it talks about the Old Testament and the things therein and the tabernacle and what have you. And he's quoting from probably Leviticus, the writer is. But it says, For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop. Remember that word hyssop, we'll come back to it. And sprinkled both the book, in other words, the parts of the Bible they had. He sprinkled the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Sins, they can be washed away, but sin can't be washed away except blood is shed. The old hymn, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." A verse I quote often, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8. "And let us reason together, says the Lord, for though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God wants us to live for Him. And under the Old Testament, things were a certain way. And in the New Testament, it's similar, but it's different. Circumcision had to do with each person, each male. He was to be circumcised, and he shed a little blood. But for Christians, all we get is dunked in the water. But that ceremony, it's about our Lord, who hung and bled and died, and shed his blood for us sinners. Again, there's a contrast. There's a lot of contrast, honestly, but when we are baptized, and again, I'm not talking about infant baptism, I'm talking about, hey, I surrendered my life to the Lord, I want to live for Him, I want to do what Romans 6 says, I want to die to self, I don't want to continue to live in sin, I want to stop my sinful thoughts, my sinful lifestyle, I want to start living for God. When we are baptized or immersed in water, it's a testimony saying, hey, I want to live for God, and I trusted, by faith, I trusted that Jesus died for me. In Psalm 51, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." That word hyssop, it's a little bush. And in the temple or tabernacle, when they set it up, they consecrated it, they dedicated it to God. It says Moses went around doing this and doing that, but he dipped this little branch of the hyssop plant, and he went around and sprinkled everything with blood. Again, using a branch from a specific plant, the hyssop bush. But when David repented of his sin, when Nathan came, pointed his bony finger and said, "David, you're the man," You slept with Bathsheba. You had her husband killed. And oh, what about this kid y'all had? David's great prayer of repentance. He said, Lord, you desire truth in the heart. Not as many do today. They go to church on Sunday or whatever, and they kneel and they stand and they do whatever and they say and do and whatever. And church lets out and they go, hey, let's get a six-pack and watch the Saints or whatever. It's an outward observance of religious things. But David said, Lord, you want truth in my heart. Yeah, I need to have right actions. But you want to get my heart right. Because that's the problem. Oh, fine, I did all those things, but it was my heart that was wrong. Thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop. Take that little branch, Lord, dip it in the blood of Calvary. And sprinkle my heart. Sprinkle my heart with blood. But you see, this is an example once again of the Old Testament laying the foundation for the things in the New. But he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. And that's what this lesson is about. Yes, we're contrasting circumcision and baptism, but in the Old and in the New Testaments, God is concerned with the heart. He wants us to get our heart right and to confess sins and purpose that, hey, we're not going to go do that no more. We're going to try to live right. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, as loud as he could, repent, turn from your wicked way, turn around, don't walk that way, turn around and walk away from all those sins, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it goes on down and says that everybody, they went out to the river, they wanted to hear what John had to say, and they heard and believed, and they were baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Just like David, when he was found out, he said, Lord, I confess that I did this. I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to live like that no more. Lord, clean me up on the inside. They were baptized as a testimony, saying, I don't want to live like that no more. I want to live for God. That's what baptism's about. Again, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He said, don't you know that everybody that was baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? And just as he was raised into new life, we ought to be raised into living a new life. It ought to reflect a change in the heart. We need to not do all those things that we used to do. We ought to walk in newness of life. Again, God is concerned with the heart. And circumcision was a covenant that each Jew participated in, and it required their blood, every male Jew. And I said it before, but I'll say it again. Baptism, we trust in Christ's blood. We believe, we exercise faith that Jesus bled for us. Water's a symbol of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But it says in Hebrews that there remains a rest for the people of God. And though we've said, okay, Lord, I want to live for you, and in fact, I'll go down to that church and get baptized, there's still a cutting away that should occur in the heart. Again, to compare and contrast circumcision and baptism. Paul, in Colossians chapter 2, and there's a lot here, and I'd like to just teach the entire chapter, but I can't, don't have any time. But he said, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, he said, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the religions of men and the rudiments or teachings of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all of the fullness of Godhead bodily." Okay, big words, archaic language. But he's saying, look, you can go to church and that's fine. But don't get caught up in church. You ought to get caught up in Christ, because he's the one that died for your sins. And all of these sit, stand, kneel, bow, whatever the church sometimes has, don't get distracted by that. Look to Christ. And in your heart, live for him. But he says in verse 10, 11, and 12, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised." And he's talking to Christians. He says, "In Jesus Christ you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." Back in the old days, when the Jews were circumcised at 8 days old, some dude or whatever, he'll perform the ceremony. But Paul is saying here that it's not about all of that physical thing. When men perform this ceremony, it's about God doing something in your heart and cutting away all the bad stuff we did in our hearts. It says, without hands, or not by man, but by God. Again, you can go to church and sit in church week in and week out, but God needs to do something in your heart, or in reality, you're just wasting your time. Again, the circumcision in the heart. And when God does something in your heart, you don't bleed, but still it's painful. To admit you know, I've been doing that for 20 years and sneaking around or whatever, and I've been wrong the whole time, and God, I'm sorry. I was wrong, God. Not I got caught, but Lord, I was wrong. I was wrong. It hurts. We're told to rend our hearts or tear our hearts and not our garments. Jews to this day, when someone dies, they'll rip their shirt as a way of mourning. And that's fine, that's what Jews do. But the mourning that a Christian endures is when he rips his heart. When he tears his heart. When God does something in the heart. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And it talks of having a good conscience, that as you confess your sins, God cleanses you on the inside, and then you can have a good conscience. And that you ought to live a good life. And that you need to not live an evil life like me and most of you guys used to do. But he goes on, and probably we need to come back to 1 Peter chapter 3 later on. But he goes on and he talks about baptism. And it says that baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. And it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we repent of our sins, as we do what John the Baptist said, hey, repent! As we confess, Lord, I used to do that and I'm ashamed of it. I want to turn from that and walk on in new life. I want to be a new creature on the inside. I want to live for you. And then you can have a good conscience. And again, baptism is a symbol, an outward symbol that talks about an inward reality. When we make peace with God in our hearts.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why won't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you. Waiting darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting.
Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.